Today is Tuesday, March 27, 1 o'clock p.m. The committee will come to order. And Ms. Lampy will go with the bill. Senate Bill 5534.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate Bill 5534 is the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. As you recall, they were here yesterday afternoon, made presentation. Today is the work session. Before we started, though, I wanted to point out that Ms. Buckley brought the two maps that Senator Winters requested. There's a map of the number of people on conditional release in each county, as well as the number of PSRB clients from each county. And I thought, Madam Chair, if there were questions in the subcommittee, we could ask Ms. Buckley that now before I started in on the recommendation.
Are there questions of the committee before we start working the budget? Ms. Buckley is with us and is available to answer any questions you might have.
Representative Kotek. Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for the maps. I appreciate that. So I see people who are committed by county in some of the rural counties, but not on conditional release. Is it safe to assume it's because there aren't community settings to release them back, or are they released to different counties? I'm just wondering if there's a rural-urban situation going on here.
Representative Kotek, yes, it's most likely that there aren't the resources currently set up, whether it's residential treatment facilities or, supervised living situations, which, is often the board's preference when somebody's first leaving the hospital to release them to a supervised living situation. And it is true that in some of the rural areas, those types of residential settings are not available for our clients. So they would either, be referred to a different county who has the resources that particular client needs.
Ms. Buckley, did you remember to introduce yourself? I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. Mary Claire Buckley, and I'm the Executive Director of the Psychiatric Security Review Board.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Further questions?
All right, and thank you, Madam Chair. Jumping into the recommendation, just because it's been a while, just to kind of review the memo format, I have four items, the GRB policy package recommendations, legislative fiscal office adjustments, the proposed amendments to the bill, and then performance measures. So I'll just jump right in on GRB policy package recommendations. There are three policy packages. Package 090 is the BAM analyst adjustment, which reduces the rent budget by $3,000 to align it with current spending. There's also a line item shift in there based, again, on current biennium spending. The legislative fiscal office recommends approval of package 090. Package 101, as you recall, increases...
Let me just ask one question. Is it your pleasure that we do all at one time, or you want to do it one by one?
All at one time.
All at one time. Thank you.
Chair.
Okay.
Performance measure. All righty. Package 101. As you recall from yesterday, this increases the number of hearing days for the adult panel. They're currently budgeted for 65 hearing days a biennium. This will take them to 80. Currently, they have a 74% rate of hearing scheduled within the statutory time frames, and I confirmed with Ms. Buckley this morning that that's just on the full hearings, not on administrative hearings. But increasing the number of hearing days will allow them to improve performance, actually restore performance in this area. We recommend approval. Package 102 is
one question. Ms. Buckley, what's the difference between
a full hearing and an administrative hearing?
Yeah, a full hearing and an administrative hearing.
Senator Carter, the full hearing is when the client appears before the board and there is a face-to-face hearing. Administrative matters are reviewed by the board, but the client is not required to be present.
Thank you.
Unlike Package 101, Package 102 doesn't tie directly to a key performance measure, so we couldn't really measure improved performance. What it does is it compensates the adult panel members for essentially what we're terming a preparation day. One of the things that the agency reported that essentially the average number of individual hearings on a hearing day has doubled, therefore requiring panel members to spend more time in a preparation day. The package is currently not recommended at this time. It's not included in the co-chair's budget, and I think primarily the reason is there are so many unknowns. First, we don't know the impact of Senate Bill 232, the juvenile panel workload. We don't know that, for example, by increasing the number of hearing days by 15, maybe that will lessen the amount of non-hearing day work that needs to happen. In addition, there seems to be a little bit of lack of data, and we've talked about that with Ms. Buckley and Eric Moore, the Budget Management Division analyst, and I think Ms. Buckley will be working on that. For example, we don't know how long it takes to do hearings. We don't know how long members are actually spending in a preparation day, if you will, and these are all things that Ms. Buckley agreed to start tracking and bring back perhaps at a later date. And I think it also ties, although not directly, to issues that Senator Gordley and Representative Kotek raised yesterday about having the ability to determine a staffing model, understanding your workload and being able then to project, do I have the correct number of staff, and those sorts of things. And again, I wanted to emphasize, and I didn't say it very well, but the recommendation not to approve it at this time is not a reflection on that we don't think that the panel does good work and works hard. It's just that I think that it means that there are several unknowns and that perhaps a package or proposal could be tightened up and brought back at another time. So, again, that's the wrong way of saying that we're not recommending approval of this package.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon, thank you. I think we need to be very explicit in a recommendation around Package 102. If we're acknowledging that there is a need for data to justify a recommendation, then we need to say that, and we also need to indicate by what date, when is it that we expect them to come forward with the data so that we can review the request. My concern is that we have heard testimony that this is a board that is hardworking, that is overworked, that is stretched. The entire staff is stretched. Those are knowns. They're knowns. But I would like to see us tie it to a date when we want them to come back with a report, whether it's a report to the e-board or it should be the e-board, so we can revisit the issue.
Right. One of the concerns that we had, Ms. Buckley, is the fact that we could not measure in terms of how much time you're talking about or what would hourly cost in terms of that. And if the panel were put together in were to be paid in a way that it's overtime, we don't know how many overtime hours you're talking about. And those are the things that we'd like for you to come back with, and those are things, Senator, that we were concerned about. There is no set amount of time in which we could measure how much would be deemed enough for overtime hours. Because working hard, working a lot, are words that tell us that they're doing something, but it's doing what to what degree and how much of time. Because right now, they're being paid at $300 and what a day?
$300.90 is my understanding.
Okay. Center. Basically $301 a day when they use their time. Mm-hmm. And so that is more than any other board. But the thing is, we know that this board are high-level professionals, and we have some superstars that are there, and they make a lot of money. But it still is considered minuscule compared to their regular daily work, of what we're trying to do, at least compensate equitably across the system.
Yeah, those are all issues. I understand, Madam Chair. When do we want them to come back with a report is the question.
Right. Well, I think Ms. Buckley knows that the e-board meets during the interim, how many times it meets. We're coming back in February. And so what we'll do is take this under advisement. And if we could have some kind of specified time, we could do that. But at the time now, we did not specify when we want them to come back.
And Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, we could leave it in some way somewhat open in that it will take them some time to accumulate data. And so would it be all right if we just indicated that we wanted them to come back at some time during the interim when they're ready to come back and leave the date not specified, particularly since we're not really sure what the calendar will look like during the interim.
Sort of. Well, my other concern is that we have the juvenile PSRB that is also in development. And so, you know, and as that piece evolves, we need to be kept informed about what we're learning. There are a lot of assumptions behind the rollout of the PSRB. Do we want to wait 6 months to revisit that? Do we want to wait a year to revisit that? I'm concerned about both of these pieces, including the development of the PSRB.
Would the committee be comfortable if we added during the interim or the next session? Representative Cortez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I share the concerns about asking the PSRB to come back at a reasonable time. I would like to have the conversation with them in the interim prior to the preparation of the next biennial budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's April. I don't know how that really works next year in terms of the e-book.
What we were trying to do is give them a chance to get data and they could come back to us at a time in which they get the data. We were trying not to put a timeline on them since they already have a strong workload.
And Madam Chair, and I think that's an excellent point. I also think they're willing to do a lot with a little and willing to kind of keep plugging along. And I wouldn't want them to... I'd like you to come back and ask for what you need. And the longer you go and you get caught up in your work, and if you don't come back and it doesn't, you know, it's... So, you know, sometimes you have to have that deadline because you get caught up in all your work you're doing. And so, you know, these are really important issues because we're expecting the board to do a lot in terms of our continuum of care. And yet I think... you're going to see, I think, a huge increase in some areas that we're having a difficult time trying to anticipate, but it's going to really affect your budget. And so if we can help you be engaged a little earlier, I think it'll go better next session in terms of maybe some additional resources.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Representative Morgan and Representative Nathanson.
Well, I'm wondering if there isn't a couple of options here. First of all, they would always have access to the emergency board,
mm-hmm,
if we felt that there was more work than the budget allowed them,
right,
to do, to come back and make their case before the emergency board for a supplemental appropriation.
Right.
Or alternately, you may want to consider some kind of a budget note that would direct them to work with the audit committee in the interim to develop the information for the next budget cycle.
Representative Mason, and then we'll ask for her pleasure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My comment is related to the last few comments, I believe. When we look at the performance measures information, which is presented to us in a very clear and helpful way, we can see performance measures and targets into the future. But when we look at caseload statistics, and this isn't limited to just this area, it's pervasive in many of the presentations we see, all we see is caseload retrospectively through the current time period. We don't see projections of future caseloads. I appreciate that legislative actions impact projections by increasing or decreasing workloads. However, it seems like it could be possible not to conjecture about what legislative actions may happen, but just based on, for example, in this area, we do know much about the populations in the jurisdiction of either Department of Corrections or Oregon Youth Authority. We know a lot about those populations and the characteristics of their tenure there, their age and other demographic data. It seems like it should be possible when we see caseload stats to see at least looking ahead a 2 or 3 years into the future. And then that would help us as well as help the department anticipate not only the next 2 years but on into that. For example, here we see caseload through 2006, but we are trying to consider a budget for 2007 through 2009, but we don't see columns of data here with the projected caseload. So I'm concerned that we do the right thing for what you need, as others have said. So it's just a note for this and others that it would be nice to see a couple of years of projections.
Comments to the comments you've heard?
Madam Chair, we'd be happy to try and accommodate that. We certainly can project the number of persons who are going to lapse from our jurisdiction as a result of operation of law, because they're given set sentences or dispositions, as they're called. I think our struggle has been that, as you see from the numbers that come under the board, we stayed pretty steady for a while and then had a spike. It's come down a bit, but I expect that it may stay in that 80 to 100 range for, the foreseeable future. I don't see a major change, but I can certainly try and project that for you. Senator Carter, I'd be happy to, return with, I think with the juvenile panel, we'd probably need about a year to gather some, data that would be reliable, given that we're only starting in July, and frankly, it takes 90 days to have their first hearing, so we'd need at least a period of time to see, how that starts to work. And as far as this other data, I've had conversations with Ms. Mempy as well as with Mr. Moore, and would be happy to start tracking some of these unknowns, as noted, and bring that back either before the next session or when you come back in February, whatever the committee's desire is.
I'd be happy to do that. Would it sound reasonable for you to have some data that you could give to the committee?
Madam Chair, I think that in terms of the adult panel's work, six months of keeping, track of, the board members, a timesheet, as well as for my staff. I mean, we've already talked last evening about setting up some kind of, almost a timesheet so that we can identify what, what duties and responsibilities
take. So at least for December 2007, is it manageable for you?
Yes.
Okay,
Madam Chair.
So we'll just put that piece up and put by 2007. December 2007, we report back to the board.
Madam Chair, could I make a suggestion, though, that kind of in line with what Senator Gorther suggested, in that we link these two things? For example, if the report on the juvenile PSRB caseload indicates that the caseload isn't coming in, then the agency would have general fund savings in their budget that then could then be shifted over to the adult panel should the data support that the adult panel needs to be reimbursed for a planning preparation day. And so I think I'd just like to make that suggestion that they combine the two reports, which would push it out further than December 2007.
Right, exactly.
And then they just have to come once.
That makes sense.
So, what I heard was some folks, I heard Ms. Buckley suggest at least a year, so some part of the first quarter of the second fiscal year, perhaps they could come and report on both items.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense to you.
Absolutely.
Yes, please do. And then what I'd like to do is to have a prospective motion regarding this language being added. Since you're going to pass the bill out today, what will be the pleasure of the committee?
Could we just amend the bill?
Write that as a budget note?
And be done with it?
I hate to write a budget note, because then we have to go and get permission from the co-chairs and from the president of the Senate,
Madam Chair, members, I could work with Mr. Moore, and we could incorporate the language into the budget report to make sure that it's clear that the committee discusses particularly around this package that isn't being recommended right now, and have the agency come back with the two report items.
Good idea. Good.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you.
Budgeting tool.
Cool.
Yeah. Specific high-level budget.
Yes, one that I could repeat right now.
Yeah. There are other specific questions.
Exactly. Then Is it okay, Madam Chair, to continue? To item number two, you'll be glad to know there are no legislative fiscal adjustments, so that was easy. The legislative fiscal office recommends a general fund budget of $1,035,014 and another funds budget of $2,000, 5 positions, 5 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5534 be amended accordingly. This is a $75,000 reduction from the governor's recommended, and it's for the package 102 that we just discussed. I thought, Madam Chair and members, I'd just move right into performance measures, and that way then you can just have one motion to move this along. Attached to the memo, you'll find our handy-dandy performance measure summary, key performance measure summary. We're recommending approval of the agency's key performance measures with revised targets, and I've shaded those in yellow. What we've done is changed the targets for KPM number 2 as a result of your approval of package 101, increasing the number of hearing days. We've also changed, as discussed with Ms. Buckley this morning, changing the target for KPM number 3 to reflect actual performance. I think in the information that you were presented yesterday, this target was 95%, and they've never been below 98, so it made sense to change the target to 98%. We've also added the best practices measure as we've seen in other budgets. One of the things that I'd like to mention with respect to the performance measures that I think it would be helpful if the agency married up these measures in their annual performance measure with the same kind of data that Ms. Buckley presented in her presentation materials, and that's what this handout also I had, so that you can see the number of hearings. And I think when you start to look at this data, it then starts to maybe suggest some other questions that we have. For example, in 2004, if you look at hearings held, that they actually were 93% of the hearings that they held were within the statutory time frame, but you can clearly see that the hearings have been increasing. Then in 2006, that falls off. And I think that then again, by separating out full hearings and administrative hearings, you can start to see administrative hearings is really what's driving this. That takes probably less prep time. All those sorts of things I think are helpful to see. And so percentages by themselves don't always tell the whole story. So that was a long way of saying we recommend approval of the agency's key performance measures with the revised targets. And that concludes my portion of the recommendations, Senator Parker. So we could use a motion.
I just got instructions with some different specific budgeting language.
Oh.
Madam Chair, I move the LFO.
I'm sorry, can I just ask a quick question? Sorry, Senator. On the hearings held, Ms. Buckley, why do we have question marks on the number of hearing days?
Senator Carter, Virginia Kotek, I put those in because I didn't have that data.
Oh, you just didn't have it.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I believe Ms. Buckley has it, and we'll fill it in.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I could fill those in. This was Ms. Nanthi's.
All right.
Great. Thank you. Happy to provide those numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Nathanson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a couple of short comments before we consider a motion, mostly just because I want to be on the record as having considered this, because I think it will impact some of the other work we see in human services. In our blue budget, in our blue presentation folder, on page 6, I want to note one of the primary budget drivers. I'm going to quote, "The unprecedented growth in the number of clients on conditional release and the corresponding increase in workload that obviously ensues. This is likely to spike even higher by the end of the biennium as a result of the community development project now underway for forensic clients." That's one thing that I wanted to make note of. And the other thing I'd like to comment on is on page 8, the third item that's noted there, serious lack of available, safe, low-income, alcohol- and drug-free housing, which greatly enhances likelihood of police contact for those chronically mentally ill living on the streets. Housing. Housing was a key
a key feature of the co-chair's budget that we just heard about last week, and I'd like to follow this through. Exactly what kind of housing are we talking about, and is this the sort of thing that if we pay attention to, if we can allocate money wisely, can we help decrease serious problems for persons as well as have a positive impact on our budget?
Representative Nathanson, we just got through talking about this morning, because if we had more housing, there's a greater chance that Ms. Buckley and the board would feel a little more secure in letting people out, those that have safe, that they felt reasonably safe. And not having this kind of housing is what keeps them in housed in the hospital as long as some of them are. So it is to the state's advantage to have more housing available in these situations than anything else. And so that is something that we just started talking about again this morning. And so we're going to look forward to maybe trying to prepare, talk with community providers in terms of housing. Thank you for bringing that up and making it a part of the record as well.
Madam Chair.
Senator Boardley.
I support the list that Representative Nathanson is making. I would just ask to be associated with that, but also add the last bullet on page 8. Community placement.
Right. Exactly. But
the availability of.
Yes, that is something that definitely caught our attention, and I'm going to be working in particular with our city. I already talked with one of the commissioners about this, because we do need more housing for the mentally ill. There's no doubt about it. Thank you very much. Senator Westland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 5534. I move the LFO recommendations into Senate Bill 5534, including the co-reporting requirements to be written into the budget report to the full board with a do-pass recommendation.
Any objections? Motion so carried. Is there anything else for this committee?
Thank you, sir. I need a carrier.
We need a carrier. Senator Westland, who's from the House? Gerard, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Gerard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Committee, you got a break. It's 1:40. And you're not at 1:37. Any other comments before we leave?
Senator
Gordon, Representative.
Now, I appreciate that we've done our work on this budget and we're moving it forward, but I remain concerned that the co-chair's budget does not adequately support with resources what we will need to put in place in the community to support the work of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. And I think we need to be real clear about that the housing that's needed isn't there. The community-based network of support services isn't there. And we need to be very, very clear about what it is we are approving today.
Representative Cortez?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this does relate to the co-chair's budget as well. I'm starting to hear inklings of what has been prioritized in their budget and what has not. And are we going to be receiving additional information or a presentation more in detail? I don't know the veracity of some of the lists I'm seeing.
Yes.
I'd love to have something I know comes from an official source.
Now, you normally I would say, Representative Kotak, that on Friday, chairs would be, I mean, some committee members would be receiving the report. So let me go back and ask the strategy for this, since we are not meeting this coming Friday. But I'm willing to say to you, if I have to hand deliver it to our part of the budget, to everybody's office, I'm willing to do that, but also check your computers, because I think something was sent out on the computer.
Concerning the schedule?
Oh no! Concern, you were asking about
budget detail.
Budget.
more so than the highlighted items we've seen. For example, I'm seeing lists, and I'm trying to get a good handle on what exactly in community mental health is being recommended by the co-chairs versus what was recommended by the governor. There's a variety of areas that I'm just not totally clear on. So.
Right. Well, the co-chairs' budget don't reflect, as it comes out, the governor's recommended version along with the co-chairs' recommended version. It just gives you all of the co-chairs' version. But let me say this to you, too, that one of the things that the legislature has, and that is a responsibility to budget within the frameworks of the dollars that we have. The governor's budget reflected the raising of revenue. And so this budget that the co-chairs put together reflects the amount of dollars that we have within the legislative process itself.
With your indulgence, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing us as a committee identify things that we do think are priorities, mm-hmm. to provide some of that. If we were going to, you know, it's not our job to suggest the revenue, but we could be suggesting a list of services that are not covered or potentially could not be covered that are really helpful. And I'm particularly thinking in the mental health and A&D areas, okay. that, you know, we do have limited dollars.
Exactly.
But I think part of the challenge is knowing if we were able to raise revenue, if there were revenue suggestions, what would we have been buying with that? And I think there's some really good things that we're hearing about that we might want to buy. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's our job to put out a list and say, these are potential things that would be good investments.
I would appreciate very much, once you get the co-chair's budget, receiving from you in the event that other dollars are found, how you would prioritize. So the things that each of you would like to see in the budget that is not in the co-chair's budget right now, mm-hmm. I'd like to see that. Representative Morgan?
I'm having an attack of confusion.
I saw it.
am I correct in understanding that we will be receiving some kind of a document that details the co-chair's budget for human services?
You will be receiving a document that, the high-level document of what the co-chairs had prioritized or had listed in terms of human services budget, yes.
Is this the, if I might have a follow-up?
Sure, please.
Is this the same document that we were given in the presentation on the floor?
Well, I wasn't here, so I don't know.
Oh.
I would think that it would be the same thing.
Okay, because I think that what I hear Representative Kotick saying is, you already have that document. I already have that document.
Okay.
And it doesn't give us enough information about what the... It tells us what the priorities are for the co-chairs, mm-hmm. but beyond that, we have no information about where they cut to make those enhancements or what the enhancements are, how the financing is involved in the enhancements, and where the other, you know, what are their second level priorities, what are their third level priorities. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're all sharing a kind of a frustration, mm-hmm. from having some very high level information across all the policy areas, but not knowing in terms of the silos, education, human services, public safety, where the co-chairs did their giving and taking and what fell off so that they could put their enhancements in place. And I think that's what we're looking for is more detail, mm-hmm. beyond what was given to us in that initial presentation.
I see. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit disadvantaged by not having been here. And so what I would do is carry your questions to the co-chairs in terms of what you'd like to see.
Thank you. Okay. Did I correctly reflect, mm-hmm. the...
And Madam Chair, I think it would be very helpful to have that analysis before the full Ways and Means Committee goes out on the road around the state, so that as we are hearing questions and comments from Oregonians about the co-chair's budget, mm-hmm. we're all better able to respond to what's there. It's the analysis piece that's
okay.
missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so the comments? I will take those and get back to you on those. In the meantime,
mm-hmm.
I was hoping perhaps you might be preparing to strike the senator.
I know you are. But what we're laughing at, we have a bad boy up here who had stuck the gavel underneath and I had to try to manipulate it out. Anyway.
Senator Gordley, we're short.
I appreciate I love this committee. I always say that I love this committee. I really, really do, and I appreciate your hard work and your great questions over and over again. Committee dismissed.